Chapter 7, The Day of Thy Power. Psalms 110, verse 3. The month of August 1940 arrived, and with it the fulfillment of our hopes. In our answer to many prayers, the Lord brought His servant back to Madras for a 3-month stay. Bhakt Singh came now with a definite message. During those 3 months, he was to preach in almost every church building in the city, with hundreds gathering for every meeting. To the prophet Jeremiah, God said, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Our brother may have taken courage from these or similar words to speak out with boldness the whole counsel of God. Certainly he did this without fear or favor. He began once again with a series of meetings in the same Tamil Methodist church. He stressed the importance of the Bible as the Word of God and exposed the error of those who presumed to set aside its authority. At the beginning of every meeting, all present were invited to display their Bibles by raising them above their heads and to feel ashamed if they had not brought one. Hundreds of Bibles were sold there on the spot, for we had asked the Bible Society to bring supplies of all their editions in Tamil, Telugu, English, and other local languages. They brought a van load, and volunteers distributed them to all who needed them. Those who did not have the cash were trusted to pay us afterwards, and they did. From now on, people in Madras began to read the Bible as never before and to carry it, instead of just a hymn book and a prayer book, to their churches. Yes, Bhakt Singh preached the Bible, but he preached above all to win souls. He preached sin and repentance, and he expounded from the scripture the way of salvation through Jesus Christ, as he himself had found it. He told to the fullness of joy that is in Christ for those who will forsake all and go after Him. As a result, many each night gave their hearts to the Lord and testified that they had been born again of the Spirit of God. Next, he was invited to preach for 2 weeks at the CMS Tucker Church. Each evening, he opened to us the scriptures, always emphasizing their authority as the Word of God. His exposition greatly stirred us. Again, all were asked to come to the meetings with their Bibles in their mother tongue. Soon, the stocks of Tamil Bibles in the society's sales depot were sold out. One night at Tucker Church, the crowd was so great that many could not get in through the doors. Brother Bhakt Singh ordered the benches to be moved aside so that people could sit on the floor and told the children to come up and sit quietly in the church sanctuary. This desecration, however, shocked the church elders, who reported the matter to the bishop. Next night, Bhakt Singh challenged them, "Bishop or no bishop, the Lord has sent me to preach and I must deliver His message. Do not you adults smoke and indulge in other vices that defile the house of God far more grievously than does the presence of these innocent children?" Thus, for 2 weeks, he thundered from the pulpit of the very church where for some years now I had myself worshipped the Lord. I tell you, God's word came alive to us then. He feared no man and spoke out courageously as the Lord had commissioned him. In unmistakable terms, he exposed worldliness and carnality among the nominal Christians, and he struck unhesitatingly at sin. One day at a meeting in Purasavalkam, he saw a man in the congregation smiling across at the ladies. He stopped speaking, strode across, and rebuked him sternly. Few could have done this and got away with it, but people accepted it from him. Where he felt it necessary, he spoke straightly to the pastors and missionaries. Some appreciated this, others found it difficult to take. Nevertheless, they invited him among them, for their congregations were clamoring for him. His message was welcomed at that time by nearly the whole community. Wherever he preached, the people flocked to hear him. No notices or handbills had been printed. He would have none, but the news was passed on by word of mouth, and they came. Those were the early days of the Second World War. Conditions of life in general were, of course, little changed. Mothers had babies to care for. Children had to go to school. Often both parents were employed. Moreover, due to petrol rationing, public transport was much reduced, and there were beginning to be other hardships. Yet in spite of everything, people came nightly in large numbers. Meetings would sometimes last till 10 to 11 p.m. with three-hour-long sermons, but still they kept attending. It was unbelievable. No man could have brought it about. Only God could create such a hunger for His word. Through its faithful preaching, many hundreds found new life in Him. Later, there were meetings in the Scottish Church of St. Andrews in Avarnatha, Parpier Road, Cholai. Here our friend, George Rajaratnam, worshipped, and he and Dorai Raj were now elders. It was October and the northeast monsoon was blowing. One evening, the skies were dark and threatening, and we thought it would be necessary to go inside. But a very large crowd had gathered, far more than the church could accommodate. And after prayer, Brother Bhakt Singh decided we should carry on in the open. Suddenly it began to rain very heavily. He urged the people not to stir, but just to protect their Bibles by putting them under their clothes. He himself continued to preach with his Bible wide open. People just sat on the ground in the pouring rain with rivulets of water running beneath them. Though soaked to the skin, they went on listening to God's saving word. Only after a long time did it stop. There were mothers with babies in arms, yet no one stirred until the meeting was over, and no one was anxious for it to conclude early. For a wind of God was blowing through Madras, and the showers that watered our hearts were showers of blessing. Joyfully and without stint, everyone gave to the Lord time, strength, material things, and above all, attention to His will. They put themselves at His disposal for whatever demands He made. Early morning Bible studies in the book of Revelation were conducted daily in the London Mission Chapel and were well attended. On Saturday mornings, there were processions of witness in which pastors and congregations took part. Often several furlongs in length, with children leading, women following, men bringing up the rear, they passed through the streets singing Hallelujah, Yesuvai, all over Madras. On Saturdays, in preparation for the Lord's Day, prayer went on all night. Through this means, and without any advertisement, the Holy Spirit brought together the masses to hear the gospel, for God's work needs no publicity. There was great joy in the city. You could hear people singing everywhere. As in Psalms chapter 126, verses 1 to 3, our mouths were filled with laughter. Non-Christians were amazed. One Hindu gentleman was heard to remark, "It looks as though Chennai Patana has become a Christian city." People hungered and thirsted after righteousness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, "And the Lord filled them." There were many remarkable conversions, both among the nominally Christian and the non-Christian communities. Some, too, of those near and dear to us found the Lord at that time. Then one day, a Hindu girl who had given her heart to Christ approached Brother Bhakt Singh asking for baptism. This created a new problem and he sought our counsel. We prayed together about it and shared the matter too with other men of God. Meanwhile, several young men who had come with him from Punjab had asked if they also might testify in this way. Eventually, it was agreed to make no public announcement, but to baptize them quietly at the Cook's Road Baptist Church, Cholai, which was kindly offered for the purpose. This was done, and the Hindu girl, the one Madrasi in the group, took the name of Mary Magdalene. There were wonderful answers to prayer. The sick were prayed for, and some were healed. A leper one day asked leave to give a 5-minute testimony at a meeting. The week before, he had sat huddled in a blanket in the corner of the church with 2 leprous sores on his leg. Long treatment had failed to heal him, and he had given up as hopeless. Then he asked to be anointed and prayed for, and thereupon had been completely restored with no trace of his disease. But the emphasis was never on healing the body, but always on bringing sinners to repentance and faith. The preaching brought a constant challenge to our hearts, for it set high standards of life. As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. God sought in us hearts devoted to him alone. We began to see what this meant. My wife Navneetham came to feel that she should take off her jewels and henceforth dress very simply. I too removed from my walls the group photographs of MSM officers and replaced them with texts chosen from the Word of God. The Lord Jesus had lived in poverty with one object, to serve and not be served. Shall we not follow him in this? In the matter of separation from the world, Bhakt Singh made rigorous demands. On one occasion, he was invited to lunch by a Christian brother. Desiring to make a better show, this man had arranged for the meal to be in his son's house. All had been prepared, but on entering the room, Brother Bhakt Singh saw the walls covered with suggestive cinema pictures of partly clad women. He called the man of the house and asked, Is this a Christian home? If you do not take these pictures down and destroy them, we cannot eat here. But the man was proud and took offense, so Bhakt Singh left again, leaving the meal untouched. With church leaders, where the situation called for it, he could be just as uncompromising. On Sunday, he was asked to preach at the Free Church Mission in Royapuram, whence their great evangelist, the Reverend S. Paramanandam, had now retired. He felt some checks in his spirit about going, but eventually agreed to do so. He asked that the benches might be removed and a light pandal erected to provide some shade for the overflow congregation. As we set out, Brother Rajamani, he said to me, I have no clear message. I don't know why. When we got there, the reason became apparent. Nothing had been done, and people were standing out in the hot sun. Worse, a collection was being taken from the waiting crowd. He had specified that this should never be done at his meetings, and they knew this. When he saw the money being collected, he reacted strongly. I have no message for these people, he declared. I cannot speak here. To the elders of the place, he said, You foolish men, is it money you are after and not rather the spiritual wealth of your flock? Though the campaign involved much expense, he would give no consent for collections to be taken at any of his public meetings. The gospel, he affirmed, is free. Towards the end of 3 months, Brother Bhakt Singh announced that we would have a United Love Feast. It was to be held in the compound of the Balfour Hall, Kilpok, and all were invited to come. He asked every person they were to bring rice and cutlets, while sambar, vegetable curry, would be cooked for them. Leaves for plates would be supplied and water to drink. All were asked to come singing through the streets to the place of meeting. Accordingly, that morning I started out with my wife and 3 small children. We put our food in a rickshaw and walked beside it in a single file. I played on my violin. Navneetham, who was one with me in everything, joined me as I sang at the top of my voice, and children added their shrill voices to the chorus. Everybody in the neighborhood knew us. No doubt they had thought I had gone mad. As we walked along singing, others bound for the meeting came out of their houses and joined us. By the time I reached the hall, I had quite a procession behind me, all singing heartily. Hallelujah to the Lamb who died on Mount Calvary. Hallelujah, 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 amen. It is hard to believe now that such things really happened. I tell you, the Lord's people were willing to be fools for him in those days. More than 12,000 gathered on the open Maidan for the love feast. When we reached the hall, I went to the building to see how the contributions of food were being stored. Volunteers were emptying the baskets of rice into a room. I could not believe my eyes. There was a huge heap of rice, ready cooked and all the best kind of rice too. Then I looked at the cutlets, another great heap. Elsewhere, other volunteers were already preparing the vast quantities of sambar needed for so great a crowd. Brother Bhakt Singh had insisted that all these volunteer workers, like all who took any active part throughout his campaigns, should be men born again of the Spirit of God, hence the joy on their faces. Now he stood up to speak. First, since this was causing concern to some, he explained why he had refused to speak at Royapuram Church. Then he preached, not for the first time, a mighty message from the text. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He spoke against the worldly systems that had crept into the churches, dealing with their corruptions step by step in the light of the scriptures. This gave new light to many of us. In a new way, we saw the need to be separated in spirit from all unholiness, all that is uncontrary to God. He concluded by presenting the righteousness and holiness that are ours in Christ, who is our life. When the meeting was over, he called for the volunteers to serve the food. Nearly 200 came forward. He asked the crowd to sit in straight rows, facing each other. Leaves were laid out, and the helpers served everyone with rice, sambar, and cutlets, as much as they could eat, and still there was plenty left over. There was beautiful order and no confusion whatever. We sang and gave thanks and ate our meal, and anyone who wished could have a second helping. After all had been satisfied, we invited members of a nearby slum population to come and receive what remained over. Such unheard of happenings could not fail to make a deep impression on our lives. They were new, and they were all so manifestly the Lord's doing and not man's. God was moving among us, and we could only bow down humbly and acknowledge His goodness and mercy. Thus, those 3 months went by like a dream, until at length the day came when Brother Bhakt Singh had to leave again for the Punjab. Thousands gathered that day at Central Station to see him off. It became impossible to move, and he could not even reach his compartment because of the crush. The train had to be delayed while 2 stalwart lads carried him shoulder high above the crowd and pitched him into the carriage. As the train steamed out, people cried, "Give us a parting verse." Leviticus 6:13, he shouted. "The fire shall be burning on the altar, it shall never go out."